Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This is the audio version of our live Sunday morning gathering. To view our live Sunday morning gathering, go to pcctoday.com.
All right. You ready for the abundant life? Come on, we're already seeing it. Man, it's so good to see all of you. And how about those baptisms this morning? Come on. Yay, Jesus. Fantastic, fantastic. Well, we're continuing and finishing up today's Blessed Life series, and it has been incredible. And I want to thank Pastor Rick for his message last week. He did fantastic, great job. And again, he's the second best looking bald guy in the building. So good. The first one, anybody else want to claim their first best looking? Anybody else? All right. But it's been really cool, just some things to celebrate for, through this series. Last week, I had a lady run up to me right after I was done, Rick was done. I wasn't even preaching. She ran up to me and she goes, Pastor Nate. I said, yeah. She goes, I got a job. I was like, yes. And she told me, I started tithing before I got a job. I was like, well, how? She was like, well, I've been on, you know, support from the government and different things, and God just told me to start tithing while I'm praying, and guess what? God showed up. Isn't that amazing? And then a few weeks ago, we had done the message on the spirit of mammon. Do you remember this one? By the way, I know some of us are brand new. Welcome, especially online. If you haven't been with us, I'd encourage you go back on our website or YouTube, and you can watch all the series. We talked about the spirit of mammon, and so it was about controlling your money, and to break that, we give to God first. Remember this? And Austin, our man over here, I got permission. Don't worry, I'm going to highlight him. He went out to a restaurant, Casa Colima. Don't worry, they're not paying me to say that. But anyways, and he was having lunch with his family, and they were having a good time. And someone from our church was there, and they were getting ready to pay, and they had left their wallet somewhere, couldn't find it, didn't have a way to pay. And Austin jumps up, ran over, paid for it, and the guy was like, I'll pay you back. And he goes, Jehovah Jireh! Come on, Austin! I love it. Now, I almost had to twist his arm for it. He's not one that wants public recognition, so that's all right. So thank you for doing that. And then I have one more cool testimony. Don't worry, I got permission from all these, and I have to say it right, from Marina, who sits down here. If you don't know her, you can meet her later. Don't worry, I say her name that way, but apparently that's not exactly how you pronounce it, but that's how I say it. A couple weeks ago, we were doing this series, and she had to stay home because her kids were sick, and so she had the sermon online, and she was watching it, and she wanted to buy some boots. Apparently, for ladies, this is really important. We got to buy boots. And so she was trying to buy some boots, and the website wouldn't work. And in the middle of it, she hears the voice from God through the sermon saying, we are to give to the Lord first. So she put down the boots, and she went and tithed. Isn't that amazing? And God's been doing amazing things in your life, so we're so excited about that. Now, some of you heard, like, I'm not telling Pastor Nate anything, because he'll be calling me out. But it's so important to hear what God's doing, because if we don't share testimony, we forget that God is at work. In a world filled with news that doesn't seem to be very positive, at church we should be hearing that God is still on the throne, he's still the king, and even in the darkest moments of our lives, he's still at work. And so I have good news for you today, that Jesus is still at work. Today we're talking about the principle of multiplication. The principle of multiplication. Now if you're here and you're like, man, I was not good in math, don't worry. You don't have to know 5 times 5 equals. I was okay. Good. Whew, we're in the right room. All right, we're good. Threw out a softball for you. There we go. But we're going to talk about the principles of multiplication. You see, because we live in a world, if you're like me, where there will be times when you look at your bank account, maybe you look at your relationship, when you look at your vehicle and you see the gas tank's on empty or there's a check engine light, and life will not add up, but we serve a God who can multiply. I'm going to say that again. Life may not add up in your strength, but we serve a God who can multiply it in His. And you may be thinking, there's no way I can do this. With God, all things are possible. But we have to live according to His principles. That's what this whole series is about. People are like, man, you talk a lot about money. No, you're misunderstanding the whole series. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. We say Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my. Why are we saying all these things? Because when you leave this room, this amazing room where God's presence is here and people are excited, you're going to be faced with adversity. And if we don't have it in our souls that Jehovah Jireh is my provider, that our God provides, that our God is the one who multiplies, when you walk out and you face things, you're going to be going back to addition when God wants to use multiplication. And so today, I want you to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to read a story. It might be familiar to you. It's Luke chapter 9, verse 12 through 17. And in this passage, Jesus is preaching an awesome sermon. Now, like most pastors, I understand this feeling that when you're preaching and you think you're doing pretty good, you just keep talking. And everyone else is just like, please, are we almost there? Are we almost landed the plane? Don't worry, we got more. In fact, my dad, when he was preaching, I'll never forget this, he was preaching a sermon, and there was a person that was sitting in the congregation, and they had to be at the bus at a certain time. And if he felt like my dad was going too long, he would stand up in the middle of the sermon and hold his watch up. Please don't do that. Don't worry, we got timers. We're doing our best to stay on track. But if Jesus can go a little long-winded, no, just kidding, we won't go there. Verse 12, here's what it says. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place. If you have your Bibles or maybe your phones, I'm going to come back to this. Would you circle that word deserted? I believe that there's a spirit of faith for some of you here who feel like you're in a deserted place. Your relationships, you may feel alone, you may feel deserted. Your finances, your jobs, your situation. I'm going to come back to this because a deserted place, if you're not there right now, you probably have been once in your life, or you might be headed there. And I'm going to tell you something about Jesus in a moment that will change the way you view any deserted place you find yourself. We are in a deserted place here, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these other people. Now, if you read a parallel passage in Matthew, we find out that they beat up a little boy and took his lunch. No, just kidding, they didn't beat him up. They got it. They got it from a little boy. 5 loaves and 2 fish came from somebody else. So it wasn't even them that provided it. Now here's what it says. For all these people, for there were about 5,000 men. Just men. 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50, and they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed, say blessed, and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Now, in Matthew chapter 14, 21, you don't have to go there, but just a parallel passage. It says that it's the same story, but from Matthew's account, he says, now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So when Jesus is preaching this on this hillside, there's a lot more than 5,000 men. In fact, if they were married and they had 2 kids at minimum. Now in this culture, a lot of times they'd have big families, lots of children. So it's safe to say that there was around, most scholars believe, around 15,000 to 20,000 people listening to Jesus talk. Now, you might be thinking, wow, that's a lot of people. I want to put that into perspective for you. We're going to cheer for the Portland Trailblazers. Lord, help them. Come on, Trailblazers! Just kidding. But I want to show you a picture. This is the Moda Center in high definition clarity. Yeah, don't stare too long. But that's what 20,000 people look like. 20,500 people is the exact number that they say you can have at the Moda Center at a basketball game. So I want you to imagine the people aren't blurry, they're clear. Jesus had perfect vision, I'm sure. He's sitting at center court. And the disciples, so just imagine yourself, put yourself in the story. You're one of the disciples. And you come to Jesus like, Jesus, this is a great sermon. I mean, I could listen all day. But Peter and John, they're getting a little restless, and so is everybody else. But don't worry, I'm here for it. I'm here all day. All day, Jesus, just keep going. This 20-part series you're doing in one day is incredible. But, you know, the people, they're hungry. We should send them away. And Jesus looks at him and he says, you feed them. Like, what? Have you ever felt like Jesus asked you to do something that you can't do? Someone's like, every day. And what ends up happening is they're kind of like, look at you, they're like, well, we beat up a kid, we got the 5 loaves and 2 fish. All right, we'll use that. And they give it to him, and Jesus is like, okay, this is all we need. And I don't know about you, but in the moment when this happens, and I give the bread to Jesus, I'm thinking, how is this going to go? So then Jesus has a strategy. He says, okay, I want you to break them up in groups of 50. So he's got strategy. Okay, we all know this. Jesus got strategy. And he breaks them up in groups of 50. Boom, 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 lets them all up. And then Jesus takes the food. He blesses it. And it's so important that we catch this. He gives it to the disciples to dispense. The bread didn't go from 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feeding multitudes in Jesus' hands. It multiplied, listen, in the hands of the disciples. So could you imagine, like, I just think of Peter, for example, Mr. He speaks before he thinks. He's got a group of 50 over here, and someone grabs a loaf, and he looks at him and says, hey, that's too much, put it back. Just take a little corner, just a little sliver. Okay, you, and maybe you could miss him. I don't know. He's just kind of picking up people. And he goes to the inn and the bread should be gone, but there's more. And then he goes to the next 50. I don't know about you, but have you ever been to a Blazer game or any game and they're calling out, peanuts, Cracker Jacks, pop, soda, licorice, and they're calling out stuff, right? And people are like, hey, over here, over here. And what do they always ask for? Money. Jesus doesn't need your resources to provide. I'm going to say that again. Jesus doesn't need your resources to provide. Okay, yeah, thank you. I was hoping for more of that, but that's okay. He has more than enough. Do not let the enemy cause you to believe that this series is all about getting money from you. This series is about you trusting in God so much so that you would live your life in such a way that the rest of the world would say, surely God's among you, because I would never give that much away. Because God has my heart. I give because he's changed me. So they're going around, they're passing it. And could you just imagine seeing people grab bread after bread after bread after bread and fish after fish after fish, and the basket's not going away. It's still happening, so much so that they have 12 baskets left over. And as I look at that, I want you to write down the big idea this morning. It's so important. We give to give. We give to give. People are like, what do you mean by that? Unfortunately, the misconception that has happened in church, and I'm talking about broad church, is that I give to get. It's like this little game we play with God. Oh, God, if I give you $20, you're going to give me $200. I know what's going to happen. Amen. Who's hungry? But that mentality, you know what it actually does? Is it produces greed into your heart. It doesn't kill selfishness, it actually promotes it. Instead, what Jesus taught us is that I am blessed to be a giver. I am blessed to bless other people. I am blessed to see the world around me, the city around me, this church. I am blessed to be a blessing. I give to give. And the reason is the principles of multiplication require that you give. So the first principle I want you to look at, number one, if you're taking notes, is this. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. I'll read it to you. Then he took, this is Jesus, verse 16. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the multitude. As we know from our previous messages, that the way that it's blessed is that you give your first fruits to God first, the tithe, the first 10%, we give that to God first. And when you do that, he will bless it beyond your wildest imagination. A few years ago, we were in the Tri-Cities, which is in Washington State, and there was a local church called Faith Tri-Cities in Pasco, Washington. How many of you ever heard of Faith Tri-Cities? Anybody ever heard of that church? It's a kind of a flagship church, like PCC. It's been around a long time. And they were having a celebration, an anniversary. The church had been faithful, doing amazing things. So they brought in speakers, all these different things, and guests and from the past. And it was just an amazing celebration. And they posted on Facebook. And so I was watching a little bit of it. And there was this man who looked like he had been who looked like he was about 80, maybe 90 years old, and he was struggling to get his words out, and he was talking about that he was one of the first people when they were in the old building, the tiny one, and he likened it kind of like a storehouse, just like this tiny little building. And then he said, by faith, God took us to another building, and it got bigger, and people were coming, and we were reaching people, and it was growing. And so we decided that we needed to paint the building. The problem was we didn't have any money. So they got everybody together and they prayed and they got just a few cans of paint. And it was tons of square footage. So they got there and they knew they didn't have enough paint to paint the whole building. But you know what they did? They laid hands on the paint. And they were able to finish the entire building. Isn't that amazing? God multiplied the paint. The principle of multiplication is so much bigger than just finances. It's about looking at your resources and realizing with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And he multiplies things. This past series, we started something called the 90-Day Tithe Challenge. And 91 people signed up to do that. Isn't that incredible? And the reason I say all of that is because 91 people who weren't tithing before, listen to this, have turned their finances from being addition to multiplication. They've changed their life from looking at, I don't know if it's going to add up to God's going to multiply. They've changed their story from being, I don't know how I'm going to do it, to, I know my God will do this. My God shall provide. Because he's the one that I serve. The second principle that we need to look at for multiplication is this. It has to be given away before it can multiply. It says, then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It has to be given before it can multiply. That's called the faith part. That's called the risk it to get the biscuit part. I grew up, and you can feel bad for me, it's okay, without any animals. Thank you. No, it's good. I got to preface that. That's not true. At a certain point, we didn't have any animals. We did have fish that we killed really fast. Some birds didn't make it very long. The dog, I think, lasted like 3 months. Anyways, but by the time I was like a certain age, we just didn't have any animals. So most of my recollection, no animals. You can feel bad for me. It's cool. But I got married, and my wife has shown us the light that life is better with 2 dogs. And we'll leave that up for a little bit. That is Taters. This is a couple years ago. That's Kaya and Zuri. And they are Tate's best friends. They wake, anytime the boys are awake, they're with them. Tate jumps on the black dog all the time. Poor Zuri. She gets jumped on all the time. And she's just great with him. Now, the thing that you have to know, I am blessed to have dogs. Blessed to have dogs. And if you know me well, you know that I am smiling by faith. Blessed to have dogs. And I no, but honestly, we do love our dogs. But one of the things about dogs that maybe you know is that when they use the restroom outside, what happens to your grass? I'll remove the suspense. There are burn marks all over and dead spots all over our grass. So this past summer, I was kind of like, it was May, I was looking at it and I was like, oh, this looks so June comes around and I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fix the grass. So Mayella found this like cool fertilizer on Amazon, so you spray it on your lawn and it's supposed to keep this from happening. It's supposed to every 4 weeks you do this, right? Well, it stopped causing new burns, but it didn't fix the old burns. So then I was like, okay, I know what to do. I talked to some people, and I got grass seed. I got fertilizer. I even got mulch. I got a rake, and I got ready, and I was ready to fix the spots on my lawn. Okay, so that's June. What's today? It's October 22nd, right? Guess what? Our lawn's still dead. You want to know why? The grass seed's still in my garage. The mulch is still on the side of the yard. The fertilizer still hasn't been used. I want you to hear me very carefully. God cannot multiply it if you don't use it. God won't multiply it if we won't use it. You see, here's what people want to do. God, I trust you. You do everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Nothing changes. Do you remember what happened to poor Noah? God shows up and he spoke to him. He says, build an ark. Here's the plans. Noah didn't go, please God. There it is. He got a hammer and he went to work and everybody made fun of him the whole time he did it. And I want you to hear this. There are seeds of multiplication in your bank account right now. And the only way that God multiplies it is if you give it away. If you keep it for yourself, it's not going to go anywhere. In fact, the Bible actually has a pretty powerful story that the person who buried it, as opposed to fertilizing and watering and nutrition, making his money multiply, guess what happened to that? It was taken away from him. You and I are to be stewards of all of God's resources. And if we want God to multiply, guess what we have to do? Give it away. Is there something that you're holding on to that God's asking you to give up? Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe you're not letting something go that God's saying it's time for you to let it go. Because he wants to multiply in your life, but you got to honor his principles first. He won't make something grow. He won't make something multiply if you don't give it to him first. Multiplication starts by giving it away to him first. We give to give. The third thing is that Jesus wants to use us to multiply. Did you know that Jesus wants to use you? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor! Oh man, only three of you did it. Okay, let's try that again. Turn to your neighbor online. I heard you. You weren't talking to the person in your car. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor! God wants to use you. Now I want you to whisper and say, you're my favorite. Don't tell the other person. God wants to use you. The disciples in this story, do you know how easy it would have been for Jesus just to feed them by himself? Like, this is not the problem. The problem is he's trying to raise up some men to go from being fighting and squabbling over themselves and what they have to be people that change the world. These are the 12, these are the apostles. He's trying to raise them to believe in the impossible God that can do anything. And they end up doing that. They end up becoming heroes of the faith, amazing men, and most of them die brutal deaths for God. How did they get that way? Because they saw the power of God working in and through their lives. My prayer for all of us is to stop asking God to take things away, but instead to strengthen us so that we can use his power to work through us to change the world. Right? And if you're like, what verse is that? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. One of our staff members, now this person asked me not to say their name, so I won't say their name. One of these people on staff was telling us a story about multiplication, how God wants to use them. She was going through a really hard time in her life, and her kids were out front playing, and there was this man who looked kind of like, she would just say, not normal, just kind of struggling through life, and he would walk by every day, and they started talking, and one day the Holy Spirit told her to bake this man a loaf of bread. And so as he's come by, he came, as usual, she handed him a loaf of bread, and he was like, why are you giving this to me? The Lord told me to. And so he did it, and actually, I messed the story up. I'm sorry. No, she took it to his house. There we go. I got to say that the right way. Took it to his house, and he was like, why'd you give this to me? I have no idea. So fast forward a couple months later. He's walking. He comes up, and she's having a really hard time, and he's asking her how she's doing. And he goes, is there anything I could do? And she was like, oh, we're just praying that we can make it. In about a few weeks, my situation's going to get even worse. I'm going to lose a vehicle. I'm not going to have a car for my kids. And he said, I want to buy you a car. Bought her a van. That is called the multiplication bread. What is in your hand that you're dismissing? What is in your hand that you're dismissing? It could be a loaf of bread. Here's the thing. It could even be a granola bar, but you never know. The Bible says that when you give even a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, that you've done it unto him. I remember Mael and I and the boys were driving from the Tri-Cities. I think we're going to Renton, and we stopped in a place called Yakima, Washington. The Palm Springs of Washington, they like to call it. I used to live there. Trust me, it's not the Palm Springs. And we're walking into Target, and there's a homeless man over there. And Titus starts asking us, you know, about homeless people and what do we do? And we walk out and Miles talking to him and we pray for him. And Titus goes, hey, Mom, I want to give him some food. So Mael and him grabbed a granola bar, walked over and handed it to him and just prayed for him. And I'm telling you that story to say this. We don't know what that granola bar did in his life. When you give to give. Some of the answers, some of the rewards that you might be seeking today, you will not see this side of heaven. But is it worth it? Is it worth it? 100%. God wants to use you. Say, God wants to use me. And the last thing, as the worship team gets ready to come up, multiplication looks risky, but to the believer, it looks like trust. Verse 12, and I told you to circle your Bibles earlier before we started. It says this, for we are in a deserted place here. I was praying before this message, and forgive me if I get a little emotional, but the Holy Spirit was showing me that there are people in here that feel deserted by God. You see, when you put yourself in this story, maybe you're in the crowd, and to you, there's a few hundred people in this room, 400 somewhere in there, but it might as well be 4,000, 40,000, because you feel that alone, and you feel deserted. And as I was praying, the Holy Spirit started showing me that there are people here that are listening to this, maybe you're online as well, that you are in a deserted, spiritually bankrupt state. And you're not sure how you're going to make it and how you're going to provide. But I'm here today to tell you that we serve a God that could multiply even in the most deserted places of your life. If I could have the ushers get ready to receive our morning's tithes and offerings, they're going to get up in just a moment. We've switched this on purpose, and here's why. Giving is worship. We don't give to get, do we? We give to give. And I want you to stay where you're seated just for a moment. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to start speaking to you. Because there will be moments when you feel deserted. There will be moments in your life when you are struggling to believe. And I want to encourage you. As I was praying about this, I talked to somebody in the hallway. She may have not felt deserted, but she was struggling because she got a report from the doctor that there was some problems in her body and she might have cancer. So we've been praying for her. She sees me in the hallway and she says, "Pastor Nate." And I said, "Yes." She goes, "It's not cancer. It's not cancer." Jeannie, we are so excited for that news. Church, listen to me. God sees you. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to multiply what's in your hands, not for your glory, but for His. Because there are other people this side of heaven that need to be in heaven someday. We want to plunder hell and populate heaven. And it starts with your heart. If you're here this morning with all the eyes open and you're like, "Man, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to go all the, like, I want to give everything to Him. That's the kind of Jesus I want, the one that could take addition and make both. He's the one I want." If you're here this morning and you want me to just pray a prayer of faith with you, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you right where you are, that you want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. I see that hand. That's awesome. Anybody else? It could, even if it's a rededication, that's okay. Raise your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Lots of hands. Thank you. That's awesome. Anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. I see that hand. That's amazing. Anybody else? Come on. The Holy Spirit's moving. He's working in hearts. Come on. That's awesome. Would you repeat this prayer after me? "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I trust You with my life. I surrender my life. Forgive me. Wash me. And make me new. I'm going to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen." Hey, let's rejoice for the people that raise their hand. Praise God. If you raised your hand, please stop by the hub. There are people there that have gifts for you. We want to pray with you, also give you next steps of where you need to do. But church, would you stand with me? And ushers, would you come down? We're going to pray over the offering. And I have one more thing the Lord was showing me that we need to pray over, and that's this. If you just indulge me just for about 30 more seconds. If you're here this morning, and as I was talking, the Holy Spirit highlighted something in your life, and that's that you've had a spirit of fear because you're worried that you're not going to have enough. And to be honest, it stems from greed and selfishness. And if you want that to be broken off you today, God wants to break that off you. So if that's you, would you be as bold as you can with me? And just raise your hand and say, "God, I want to break that greed off me. I want to break selfishness off me right now in Jesus' name." By the prayer of faith, God's going to break that off you. If that's you, raise your hand high. I want to pray over you. Lots of hands. Come on. So Father, You see all the hands up. Right now, we break off greed. We break off selfishness. We break off anything that's within us that would hold us back from becoming people that love to give, that give to give. Father, help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. And we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, many of you were set free this morning. That's so cool. I believe that. I believe it. Okay, before we pass the buckets, we're going to bless the offering. God multiply it. Amen? So, Father, I pray for this offering as we pass the buckets. I pray that you would multiply this offering in Jesus' name. I pray that we would see more people get baptized. We had six this morning, but there are thousands of people in Portland that don't know you. We pray that they would come to know you, that they would get baptized, that they would be healed, and they'd be set free and delivered in Jesus' name. As we give, this promotes the ministry to reach people for you. I pray you bless both the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. As the buckets are being passed, let's worship Jesus together. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com or join us online for our live stream at 10:30 at live.pcctoday.com.